We read the Holy Scriptures this morning in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, beginning at verse 36. Matthew chapter 26 at verse 36. Thursday evening in the upper room, after Jesus has left the upper room. And as our Lord knows all that his Father has appointed for him to do for our redemption. Matthew 26, verse 36, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be very sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. He came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. So far we read the Scriptures, asking God to reverence them in our hearts. This morning we consider the third petition of the Lord's Prayer, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In connection with that petition, we read together in Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 11. Ephesians 1, verse 11, In whom, that is, in Christ, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His own will. We read in Matthew, chapter 10, the verses 29 and 30 of that will of God. Matthew 10, verse 29, Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Then we also, or the Bible also, speaks of God's will, not only in the sense of His eternal decree and determination, but also in the sense of His good pleasure for our life, or His commandments. 1 John chapter 2, the verses 15 through 17. 1 John 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God, that is, the will of his commandments, abideth forever. We have the explanation of this petition in our catechism in Lord's Day 49 on page 26. Page 26 in the back of the Psalter, question 124. What is the third petition? Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will, and without murmuring, obey thy will, which is only good, that so everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. We just sang of that from Psalm 103, the angels doing God's will in heaven. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is there better to teach us to pray than our Lord Jesus Christ? And so we have the Lord's Prayer. Who better than he who came from the throne of God and now has returned to the throne of God and is at the right hand of that throne in our glorified body? Who better to teach us how we ought to come to that throne than our Lord Jesus Christ? And so we have the Lord's Prayer. This week I came across this quotation from Martin Luther, written near the end of his life. He writes, "To this day," he's an old man now, "to this day I suckle," little child, "to this day I suckle at the Lord's Prayer like a child, and as an old man, eat and drink from it, and never get my fill. It is the very best prayer, even better than the Psalms, which are very dear to me. It is surely evident that a real master composed and taught it." Who better than Jesus to teach us the third petition? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We read that profound and mysterious account of our Savior in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew chapter 26, in which he prayed, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." We ask the question, how can that be that he prays that if he's the eternal Son of God? Does he not know that there is no other way than to bear the cup of our sins for us to be saved? Yes, he knows that. But we should ask the question, if he is truly a man, sinless, but if he is truly a man, how could he not look at that cross with all of its pain and suffering? And how could he not, as a human man, stand in horror before that which he must do? And he prays, "Father, if it's possible, let it pass, but not as I will. Thy will be done." It was the will of his Father that was his strength and his comfort. And so we are before Jesus this morning, and we are asking him to teach us in our flesh also to pray the same way, not as I will. The Catechism says, "Let me renounce our own will, and will thy will, which is alone good." That's exactly what the Lord said. Not as I will, but as thou wilt. The third petition of the Lord's Prayer is the prayer for the grace of submission before God. It is a prayer for submission before His will, determining my life, or the will of His decree. My weight, my height, my looks, my parents, my marriage, my income, perhaps my cancer, my talents or lack of talents, death, death of an infant, death of a husband, death of a wife, disease, sexual abuse. Remember what our catechism taught us way back in Lord's Day 10. Yea, all things come not by chance, but by thy fatherly hand or will. Let me be submissive to thy will of decree. And, Lord, give me grace to be submissive to the will of thy precept, of thy commandments, or to be sanctified. Grant that I, says the Catechism, and all men may renounce our own will and obey thy will, which is only good. Thy will for sexual purity. Thy will for honesty. Thy will for godliness. Thy will for sobriety. Thy will for me as I work tomorrow in my job. Thy will for me in my marriage. Give me to do thy will. Not my own sinful will or my own desires, but give me to conform in my heart to thy will, and forgive me when I turn from thy holy will. The third petition, therefore, means that we want God's will to go up, and we want our will to go down, because God's will, says the Catechism, alone is good. I want to be conformed. I want to will God's will. I want to walk in God's will. I want to do that, says the Catechism, without murmuring, with no back talk to God. I want to do that in the way of trust and obedience. That's what this petition is about. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. Then life will be good. It will be blessed. If I follow my will, if I am self-willed, rebellious, wiser than God, bitter, criticizing what God has done, then life will not be good. Came across this verse this past week, Psalm 18, verse 26. To the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure, and to the froward, or stubborn, thou wilt show thyself froward, stubborn. Literally, thou wilt wrestle. When we're stubborn, we wrestle with God. Give me to do thy will. There's another way of putting this. Psalter 7 from Psalm 4. The familiar line. In God's love abiding, I have joy and peace. Now change the words love abiding. In God's will obeying. In God's will obeying, I have joy and peace. Not my will, but thy will be done. We look at God's will, the call to renounce our own will, and then desiring to do God's will. God's will, the will of God, is His sovereignty. God's will is the expression of His supreme authority. Psalm 135, verse 6, that which the Lord pleased, did He, in heaven and in the sea and in all deep places. In the bottom of our sermon outline this morning is the quotation of the first article of the Belgic Confession of Faith, where we make a statement, an apology before the world, a defense of our faith, and we say, we all believe with the heart and confess with the mouth that there is one only supreme and spiritual being, which we call God, and that he is eternal, incomprehensible, invisible, immutable, infinite. Now note these words. God is almighty, perfectly wise, just, good, and the overflowing fountain of all good. If he is almighty, perfectly wise, just, good, and the overflowing fountain of all good, and he is, then he can determine, and he does, all that shall transpire in time, his will of decree. And if he is almighty, perfectly wise, just, good, and the overflowing fountain of all good, then he can determine what is right and what is evil, and how we ought to live the will of his commandments. God's will is his sovereignty. He is God. And therefore, as he pleases, so it shall be. And as he wills, so we ought to live. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, God said to Adam as he was without sin, of the two trees thou mayest freely eat, of the trees, in the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree that is in the midst of the garden thou mayest not eat of it, for the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Why did God say that? Well, we might say, because already there he's paving the way in our thinking toward the cross of Calvary and to Christ, the tree of life. Yes, yes, that's true. But why did God say that? Why did he say to Adam, eat this tree, but not that one? Why? Because he is God. And he need no other reason than that he is God alone. He is light, 1 John 1, verse 5. And there is no darkness in him at all. Because he is God. Good. What did it say? Perfectly wise. Just. Good. The overflowing fountain of all that is good. That is God. Because he is God, he determines what happens in life. And he sets down the rules for human conduct. Because he is God. And there is none else beside him. Now understand, follow this with me. This does not mean, we must not respond that therefore the will of God is arbitrary, that the will of God is fickle, like we are. All of a sudden, we're in a huff, or we're in a mood, and this is what we think, and we say to the child, oh no, God's will, which has determined all of life, and how, has determined how we ought to live our life, is rooted in his own being. Perfectly wise, just, good, and the overflowing fountain of all that is good. It is according to his character. And therefore, because it's God's will, it alone is good. God's will, which has determined your life, your sorrows and your struggles. God's will, which is expressed in the Ten Commandments of how we ought to live, is good because it's his. If we could see the will of God, then it would be a brilliant, radiant, pure, holy light. If we could feel the will of God, then it would be peace and rest like a river. If we could hear the will of God, then it would be a beautiful harmony of the most beautiful music we could ever possibly hear. But we do. By faith, we do see and feel and hear the will of God. The loving kindness of my God is more than life to me. In God's will abiding, I have joy and peace. God's will is His sovereignty. So I've pointed out now that will of God in the Scripture can be distinguished as the will of decree and the will of commandment, or the will of desire. God's will of decree refers to all that God had ordained and has ordained from all eternity, so that all things come to pass according to God's sovereign choice and determination. This will of God, which is eternal, cannot be thwarted. It cannot be annulled or overruled. Isaiah 14, verse 27, as I have thought, so shall it be. Who shall disannul it? It includes all things, nations, creation, angels, Satan, man, and sin. Sin. The will of God is sovereign over every sin. What God wills will happen, and will happen by His decree. Ephesians 1 verse 11, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel, His thoughts, of His own will. We read Matthew 10, 29 through 30, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, yet they do not fall apart from the will of your heavenly Father. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. It's not just the big items in the world, the hurricanes and 9/11 that are under the will of God, but micromanage down to the hair that falls from your hair, from your head. Psalm 139, verse 16. Thy eyes did see my substance, speaking of pregnancy. Thy eyes did see my substance when as yet there was none of them. And all of my members were written according to thy book within that womb. It is the will of God forming and fashioning and creating and making me. And the wonder of giving me a soul and giving me relationship to Him by His mighty grace. That's His decree. But the will of His desire is that, as I said, that which pleases Him. How we ought to walk in this world. We read from 1 John 2 that we are to walk according to God's will. And God's will is the opposite of worldliness. It's the opposite of living as the world in the lusts of the flesh and the desires of the mind. Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, have we not done this and this in your name, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who has done the will of God, that's His commandments. So there is the will of His decree, and there is the will of His desire. Perhaps those two things, the one verse in Scripture that ties them together, Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. Deuteronomy 29, 29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. The secret things, that secret decree of God, that inscrutable purpose of God, that sovereign purpose of God, belongs unto God, who is perfectly wise, just, and good. And the revealed things, the words of this law, the will of His commandment, belong unto us and to our children, that we may do it. So we can know that will of God, and we are to walk in it. Our attitude then to God's will is our attitude toward God, toward His sovereignty. If God is sovereign, and He is God, and there's none other, then He may, and He does, have the right to mold me and shape me after His will, and to prepare me with His own hands as the vessel before prepared for eternal glory. And praying the third petition, I pray, have Thy own way, Lord. Have Thy own way. If God is sovereign, and He is, perfectly wise, just, good, the overflowing fountain of all good, if that is so, and it is, then He may make the rules of how human beings are to live, how they are to think, and how they are to walk. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1, furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by our Lord Jesus Christ, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk, live, and please God, that ye should abound more and more. God determines human conduct. To challenge and say, why? Why has He done this? Or to challenge and say, no, we will find our own way. Every man will walk in the light of his own eyes. Good will be determined by that which you think is appropriate. To talk that way is to challenge God and His sovereignty. The federal court of the state of Michigan, by an authority invested by God to the civil state, that federal court and state, in the name, what they said is right and true, has now advocated homosexual marriage, which is the will of man. Our whole country caves under the pressure of radical advance of homosexuality. In contrast to God's will, clearly stated in Holy Scripture, one man and one woman, in contrast to something that in the Scripture is clear, and something that in the gospel of Jesus Christ is also very clear, that we, according to our own sinful nature, were once, and in our own flesh we find all manner of sins, and that there is no sin that is not in us or that we could not commit, and that God's grace does not deliver us from. Also, that sin of adultery, of homosexuality and lesbianism. The cross of Jesus Christ calls sinners to forsake the bondage of their sin and to find peace and repentance in Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, that act, that desire, is sinful. It is sinful according to the will of Almighty God. It would be desertion. It would be sin. It would be sinful for the church to simply redefine gender as the world defines gender. It would be to forsake the gospel. The will of God is plain. The life within the womb is a human being. The Bible is clear. To abort a baby is to commit murder. The will of God for marriage and marital faithfulness to one's spouse is clear. as long as you both shall live. The world and much of church world looks at us and says, but now you're a Neanderthal. You're not with it. But the will of God in Holy Scripture is a clear will. Yes, a man must give up his affair. A man and a woman must give up looking elsewhere. We must give up pornography. We must give up roaming eyes, and we must seek our satisfaction in our wife. God's will is clear. The will of God for Sabbath day is clear. The whole day, a joyful day, given over to the service and the worship of our God. It's okay. It is okay. I know as parents you're going to say more than this, but it's okay for you as a parent to say to your little children when they say, why do we have to go to church? Why do we have to go again? It's okay for you to say, because God says so. Now you say more than that, I realize that, but it's okay. God says so, because He is sovereign, and He is wise, just, and good when He says, keep the Sabbath day. The question is, in this petition, thy will be done, thy will be done, is what is your view of God? Is God now to be made over after the preferences of society and to take on my likeness, what I think? Does God control the affairs of history and of life? Does God have the right to legislate what is right and wrong? And the answer of all the heavens and of all the earth and of all the scriptures, the answer is God is God. He is sovereign. If He is not sovereign, then He is not God. And if He is not God, then man is God. And man may determine, according to his own vaunted opinions, that which is right and wrong. And he may fly in the face of these old traditions, because then one does not believe that behind this Bible is a living, only, true, good, just God. But beloved, this Bible, wonderful Bible, is not just words on some book, some tradition received from the past. But behind this Bible is the one and only true God and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent. So when we pray this petition, we're praying, as the Catechism tells us, give me to renounce my will. Our Lord Jesus, when He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, was on His knees. Perhaps, no doubt, He always prayed on His knees. But you remember the record in Gethsemane, that when He came in Gethsemane before the will of God, He had His face on the ground. He bowed down. So we pray this on our knees. What are we praying for? Positively, we're praying for a submissive heart to the will of God. We're praying that God would take my will and bring it into alignment with His perfect will. That God would give me peace with the will of God's decree, how He is pleased to lead my life, what He has brought into my life, the sufferings and the sorrows of my life. Grant me, Lord, grant me not to scream, but grant me that grace to cry, to pour out my heart, to bring all of my needs before thee, to say it exactly how I'm feeling it in my heart, but give me in all of that humility and to trust thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, rule in me. Thy will be done. Lord, I bring all of my desires before you. My deepest things of the soul I put before you, but I do not scream in terror like the world. But as Jacob, I say, I will not let thee go till thou dost bless me, till I am comforted that God's will alone is good. David said, when his son Absalom was reported to be out to kill him, it is the Lord. Let him do to me as seemeth good to him. Jesus, when many rejected in the streets of Capernaum and Bethsaida, rejected the word of life that he preached to them, said, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And we're praying also for submission to the will of God's commandment in our desires, in our life, in our opinions, in our daily walk of life. Give me to bring my life now into a conformity with the will of God as expressed in the commandments of God. Paul puts it this way, Romans 7:18, for I know that in my flesh there dwelleth no good things. For to will, to desire, is present with me. We confess that as children of God. To desire to be live that obedient, godly life is present with me. It is. But how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. And the evil that I would not, that I do. In other words, this prayer for submission to the will of God is a struggle, is the struggle of faith. We're praying for submission. Now let's answer the question, if that's what we're praying for, what are we praying against? We pray for something, but we're praying against something. What is that? Thy will be done. Are we praying against the devil and all of his hosts? Well, yes, but that's not the first thing. Are we praying against ungodly civil governments and secularism in our society? Well, no, we're not praying against that. Although, we say with the psalmist, rivers of water run down my eyes because they don't keep thy law. Are we praying against the false church because they don't have a stomach for God's sovereignty? No, we're not, first of all, praying against the false church. Are we praying against false religions and against our enemies? No. We're not, first of all, praying against them. Well, what are we praying against? Well, in the third petition, we have taken aim, dead aim, to kill, if possible, ourselves. Grant that we and all men, says the Catechism, may renounce our own will. We're praying against our flesh, against our self-will, against that man of the flesh, about those lusts and those evil desirings. That's what we're praying for. We're praying the battle of faith, of the new man, against the old man of sin. And the Catechism says, grant that we and all men, may renounce our will. So we're praying for the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're praying that through the gospel of Jesus Christ, godliness may be struck down in the hearts of men and women, eternally decreed of God. But we don't know who they are. We're praying that that gospel go forth. We're praying that women who are contemplating an abortion, that they may hear the will of God. We're praying for broken marriages, that they may hear the will of God. We're praying for self-centered fathers were praying that the will of God may be done. And so we're asking for a life of trust and faithfulness. Without murmuring, without backtalk, without complaint. God's providences and wills for our life can be so hard at times that they cause us to stagger. And we are tempted to become hopeless or bitter or unhappy. Trust God. Trust God. Almighty, perfectly wise, just, good, and the overflowing fountain of all. It did not come by chance. Trust Him. And then be faithful. Obey Him in your station and calling. The Catechism says that every one of us may attend to and perform the duties of our station and calling as fully as the angels do in heaven. So there the Catechism is bringing out the will of God, His decree, which arranges our life and gives us our station, gives us our job, gives us our marriage, gives us our circumstances. They haven't come by chance. That's God's will. But now we're asking that in that station, we serve God faithfully. We serve Him faithfully wherever He has placed us. And so it all boils down to this, that we want to desire to do God's will. That's the heart of the petition. As willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. Lord, make me will Thy will, to want Thy will, to desire Thy desire. Lord, not just that I do it, not just that I bear it, not just that I acknowledge it, not just that I say, yes, I know, I have to do this, not just that I say, well, it happened, there's no turning back now, we just need to make the best of it now, no sense crying about this anymore, no. Give me something better than that. Give me the grace to will Thy will and peace in my heart that I'm in Father's hand. I want to do this the way the angels do it in heaven. The angels. So the Catechism brings up angels in a very practical way, not in a mysterious way. What do we know about angels? Angels surround God's throne. They are ministers of God to our good. They await His throne to do His will and His beckoning. Children, do you remember the Queen of Sheba when she came to see Solomon in all of his glory? And she fainted, almost, when she saw the steps going up to His throne and His throne and the men who were standing at those steps, standing, she said, to do His will. When she saw that, she almost fainted. She saw those men, now they were men, right around Solomon's throne, who stood there. And Solomon need only look at them and nod. And they understood the will of Solomon. And they went and they did it. So the angels around the throne of God, God says, Gabriel, a virgin in Nazareth. And he goes, Michael, dispute with the devil over the body of Moses. You, stand with a flaming sword at the entrance to the Garden of Eden. And they delight to do the will of God. Their whole being, no matter the difficulty of the task, they need no urging. They need no insisting. It is their joy to do the will of Him who is upon the throne, because He is God. Perfectly wise, almighty, just, good, and the overflowing fount of all good. Because that's true. Not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. Father in heaven, we do confess that we have only stammered. We've only stammered a little bit of thy great sovereignty. We pray that we may know thee, the living God, behind the Bible, revealed in the Bible, that we may, through Jesus Christ, bow down and kiss thy scepter and know that thy will alone, is good, that we may faithfully and willingly perform that will, even as the angels are now doing it in heaven. But Lord, we have greater reason than the angels to do thy will, because the Son of God did not lay down his life on the cruel cross for angels, but he laid down his life for us sinners. So give us to do thy will. Amen.